I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, July 26, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. It really is. And we'll talk about that a little bit more today. Lately, it's kind of big picture. It's macro. Probably get back into the micro and the specifics at some point soon. But, you know, we talk about the details and how they relate. You know, the point of the specifics and the micro is how it relates to the macro and what is going on. I think in simple terms, as I've said, the best way to summarize what is happening is the return to Genesis 11, the attempt by dark and mysterious forces to finish the great unfinished work represented in Genesis chapter 11, which we see the building of the Tower of Babel, and we see people who are building this magnificent structure that will reach into heaven, and they're building it with brick and mortar, and they're trying to make for themselves a name that will endure throughout the ages. And these things all sound familiar as we come forward. I see the revelation of the method happening before our very eyes. I see people all around us starting to struggle really with their Christian faith, not understanding the distinction between biblical orthodoxy and the esoteric. And there has indeed always been an effort to counterfeit the biblically orthodox. In fact, the Bible even mentions this. You see, for example, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, the King James, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." And this is an interesting concept for Christians. You got to understand what you believe. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? What does Jesus Christ of Nazareth mean? Because even Jesus said in Matthew 24, for example, many will come in my name. And you read throughout the New Testament in particular that many false Christs will arise. What does that mean? We know that in the modern age, translations have been adulterated. That's just a fact. Westcott and Hort, for example, are a couple of principal intriguers, I would say, who have been responsible for a great deal of controversy in the subject of Bible translations. In simple terms, Brooke Foss Westcott and Fenton John Anthony Hort were largely responsible for pointing to questionable texts that I would say were probably counterfeited in Gnostic fashion, and they tried to say these texts that we just found, obviously many centuries after the texts that we'd already had in popular circulation, these predate those earlier texts, and so therefore these have more credibility. But I my opinion is on those that they're of questionable origin at the very least, and more scrutiny is deserved. So we started leaning in the direction of the Alexandria texts, which, you know, can anything good come from Alexandria? And that's a whole different discussion. But the final word on translations, as I've mentioned many times, I think comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we are reminded that, you know what, the God who is powerful enough to create the universe and everything and everyone in it is powerful enough to get us a message whenever and however he desires. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read, "Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery." What's the mystery? "The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory." You know, there are certain types, certain esoteric types, who are always trying to undress God. We had this conversation, John in Tennessee and I, before he passed away. We had this discussion on air, and I think that the way he put it was apropos. You know, there are folks who seek to undress God, essentially. There are certain things that we don't need to look into, but there are folks who are always trying to unpack the mysteries of the universe so that they can remake it in their own image and outdo God, or even overthrow God, as you see in places like Psalm 2. And so, you know, that's where you find folks like Bertrand Russell and his book Principia Mathematica, and, you know, many of the other, you know, Gnostic, Theosophical, and Kabbalistic traditions. And the reinvigoration of these and the reuniting of these, you know, the Hermetic order and the Rosicrucian order and so on. "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood." Why not? "For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." There are some who deny the Spirit. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And I have talked recently, for example, about how Jesus, you see recorded in the Synoptic Gospels in particular, that Jesus didn't perform a single miracle until he was baptized. And when he was baptized, the Synoptic Gospels all say that the Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And then immediately after that, we see him turning water into wine, the first miracle. So the Spirit is obviously an important part of the Godhead, to say the least. That's an understatement. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. So that's a powerful statement. We have one intercessor, one high priest, that's Jesus Christ. And we don't need, you know, Jesus said, call no man father, pray to your Father, our Father in heaven. That's another point we'll get to in a second. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? Which is a citation of Isaiah 40. But we have the mind of Christ. And so that's a powerful... As I quip from time to time, this is what I would call the secret decoder ring. If you want to know the secrets that God has freely given to us, this is how you do it. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. That's how you get the Holy Spirit. You get the secret decoder ring, and that's it. You know, the question is always, who's in charge? Who decides? We are not fantastic, but God is fantastic. And so continuing from yesterday, I mean, that's all in relation to Bible translations. Yes, translations have been adulterated. But there are those who have gone to great lengths to try to preserve the text, who have prayed fervently. There are folks who have tried to preserve Scripture and work to preserve Scripture. There are those who have tried to adulterate it. Again, just as the Bible points out in places like 2 Corinthians 2:17. So it's not a surprise. It's not a big deal. It's not some, oh my gosh, this is a new thing. This has been going on essentially since time immemorial, this controversy. So the final word, I think, is to God on these matters. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think, lays that issue to rest once and for all. So continuing from yesterday, I posed the question, based on what's happening, what is to be done? I want to dive into this more, too. I mentioned, you know, we played the clip from Imagining a New Moral Economy, and Angus Bergen's remarks in particular. And, you know, you reach to the shelf and you experiment a little bit. That's, you know, most people think that when they're Hari Han, the moderator asks Angus Bergen what changes, you know, what conditions like economic crisis and other societal crises like we're in right now lead to a different imagining of a socioeconomic structure. And Bergen says, I would like to emphasize that it's a misnomer to think that crises lead to reimagining. The reimagining happens often decades before a crisis, he said. And so then when that reimagining happens, you know, these ideas get put on the shelf. And that way, when there's a crisis, rather than having to reinvent the wheel, he said, people can just, you know, policymakers who aren't really policymakers, are they, if they're just reaching to the shelf? Policymakers, when there's a crisis, can just, instead of reinventing the wheel, they reach to the shelf, reach for ideas available on the shelf, he said, to experiment with possible solutions. That should tell you quite a lot about how the sausage is made, so to speak. The reimagining happens well in advance, often decades before a crisis, he said. And this is a guy who is in the know. He's not guessing. So we mentioned moral economy. It's interesting. You know, I read a little bit from the Wikipedia entry. I mentioned E.P. Thompson, Edward Palmer Thompson, and you know, the British Marxist influence of this idea. So what is the concept of a moral economy? It refers to activities viewed through a moral, not just a material lens. And so this is a new phase of Marxism. We play that Breitbart introduction these days, hating Breitbart, Andrew Breitbart. He was going to save the world. He said, wrote the book Righteous Indignation, Excuse Me While I Save the World. And this is another sort of iteration of the same old Marxism along the lines of what Andrew Breitbart was talking about. Let me see if I can put some stuff together, and then we'll sort of unpack this a little bit and bring it back full circle by the end. There's another video, speaking of moral economy, there's a channel, YouTube channel, titled Deindustrialization and the Politics of Our Time. Only 67 subscribers. There's a video titled Moral Economy, simply titled Moral Economy, published July 11 of 2022, last year, with only 187 views. The description reads, developed originally by labor historian E.P. Thompson in relation to the ways that popular feeling placed informal moral or political limits on the price of bread in the 17th and 18th centuries, the concept has been increasingly deployed by deindustrialization scholars in the UK. So basically the ghost of the Fabian, the original Fabian socialists, lives on. The workshop critically examines its evolving place and considers the ways it has emerged and or not emerged in other countries, as well as the efficacy of other related concepts. And so we have many, many angles from which we could view this. For example, aren't we Americans? You know, why are we starting to adopt? Why do we have this preoccupation with the royal family, for example? Why are we constantly, why is the entertainment world obsessing over the royal family? And why are we adopting things that come from places like London School of Economics? Created by the Fabian socialist, obviously. Why are we adopting these things and practices and habits? When we're Americans, didn't we make a break at one point? I thought we did. Stick around. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, on using me until you use me up, until you use me up. My brother sent me right down and he talked to me. That I ought not to let you just walk on me.
And so I'm sure he meant well. What is done, dear comrades? As things change, you know, what is to be done? I said pray yesterday. So imagining a new moral economy, what does this mean? This is the ESG stuff. So isn't this America? Why are we adopting ideas that are coming from far, far away? And we're being encouraged, again, speaking of the finishing the great unfinished work, we hear about, you know, one world this, you know, new world that, or whatever, and it's a unification of everything and everyone to turn us all into pasty, homogenous, you know, hermaphroditic, androgynous, I guess, what is the plural of homunculus? Something like that. In the image of the devil, basically. That's what we see happening. That sounds crazy and sensational, but you can see the world shrinking all around you. You can see language becoming less of a barrier. And that was a specific point of Genesis chapter 11. You can see, I think it's interesting, as you look around, the inventions from, let's say, around the Revolutionary era coming forward to now, we've had some pretty amazing inventions. Reminds one of Daniel 12, that knowledge would increase, people would go to and fro, certainly doing that. But, you know, we've had some amazing things. John Philip Holland, the invention of the submersible torpedo boat, or the submarine, which, by the way, was used almost immediately to start World War One. You know, the false flag event of the sinking of the Lusitania. Isn't it amazing that we get these incredible inventions and discoveries and that they're used immediately for war? So, you know, submarine, airplane, helicopter, all kinds of other amazing inventions. Of course, you know, this discussion would include cyberneticians like Norbert Wiener and missile guidance systems that then become people guidance systems, the human use of human beings kind of thing. Isn't it amazing how all of these discoveries and these inventions seem to always get bent into a nefarious agenda? The interwebs would be similar. You know, we could make a similar point about the interwebs and you know, folks like Jaron Lanier have made this point, obviously, as well. But I think we can look back just over the last 100 years and see in the last 50 years in particular, speaking of Jaron Lanier and the point that he has made about this discussion, there are fewer and fewer inventions, and there's fewer and fewer there's less and less effort to try to do things and make things that benefit mankind. We seem to be striving for some strange ethereal goal, some strange end most people don't understand. For example, what have we heard about artificial intelligence for the last decade at least? It might destroy mankind, but not unless, you know, not if we merge with it, as folks like Elon Musk say. You know, we're summoning the demon, they say. Folks like Elon Musk and Jordy Rose and others say that. But you know what? As long as we merge with this technology, we'll be fine. Very strange time compared to the rest of the historical landscape, I would say, generally speaking. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just 1 day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Show me, Mr. Man.
right. So I want to play a couple of clips, maybe get to another point here in a second, and then play one or two of those. Speaking of, the reason I mentioned the new moral economy is who decides, who's in charge, who decides. In the absence of a biblical standard, some standard has to be created. Enter the new moral economy. Marxism represents it's the antithetical or the antichrist impulse. It's the anti-biblical, antichrist impulse. So we don't need a moral economy or a new moral economy. We just need the creator of heaven and earth and of us all. We need the Bible, and that will sort those things out. I mentioned going through what I'm calling the Independence Day season. How many Christians can recite the Ten Commandments? We should be able to do that. That's the moral economy. That's the moral economy that we need. And as Paul mentions in the book of Romans, we only need one law to know that we can't keep it. And so what does that mean? That's something that we all should wrestle with and reconcile at some point. So the question is always, who's in charge? Who decides? Do we need a moral economy or a new moral economy in the absence of, if we try to crowd out God? Well, probably, because we are all sinful, fallen creatures. And that's why we end up doing evil things. It's amazing how, you know, when you think of the episodes that have occurred, particularly in recent history, perhaps over the last 100 years or so, it's fascinating and even horrifying how terribly we can treat each other. We think of ableism and eliminationism and things like this, the otherizing of people, the dehumanization of one another. And this is a broader discussion. I don't want to dive down this rabbit hole too far right now, but groups are weaponized and pitted against each other. And I think, you know, something that I've mentioned that I think is very provocative and deserves however much attention a person feels inclined to give it is the hardening that we see in Romans chapter 11. So in Romans chapter 11, Paul's talking about the future of Israel, which is Jacob's descendants. Jacob, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. This political incarnation, I would say, does not have a particular... it does not derive its lineage from Jacob. I think it's more, you know, the descendants of Japheth and other folks, if you know what I mean. Maybe Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 characters that lead it and so forth. That's, again, a different discussion. So in Romans 11, Paul is talking about the future of the descendants of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, verse 7, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not and bend their backs forever. So what's the point here? What's going on? And Paul continues, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And that's why these folks, you know, rather than fall into the Marxist conflict model where we're supposed to fight against each other, these people need prayer as much as anyone else. And so I would say, pray for these folks. And what you see, just to kind of, well, let me finish the point. So continuing from verse 23 to 25, and if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? And then verse 25, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And, well, maybe continuing. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all the disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who became his counselor? Or who has given to him that it might be paid back to him again? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So the point here is the mystery that Paul talks about in Romans 11:25, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel, Jacob's descendants, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. The point that I'm getting to is, this is a concept that I believe very firmly has been weaponized, and So now we have these impulses. We have Marxism, and there is a certain crowd that is targeted in particular. You know, I would say, for example, Bolshevism. We could call, in an oversimplified sort of way, we could call it Jewish Marxism. That's an oversimplification, and that's just to kind of contextualize it. It's basically these folks whose hearts have been hardened for mercy to be extended to all, to the world, to the Gentiles. Praise God. That's amazing. Their hearts have been hardened, and I believe that has been weaponized and exploited by the devil. And so you have this certain group of folks that is at times targeted and exploited to exploit their fellow man and dehumanize their fellow man. We see that happening in places like Palestine, for example, over the last 80 years or so in particular. And the forces that brought this political creation into being known as Israel were not godly. They were ungodly forces. And we've talked about that at length in the past. You know, the things that Theodore Herzl said, for example, coming out of the first World Zionist Congress in 1897, when he was asked, he said, you know, they said, what do you think the biggest, what is the biggest takeaway from this meeting? What did you guys accomplish? And he said, you know, it sounds crazy now, and you won't see it for a long time, certainly not like 30 or 40, maybe 50 years, but within that time, within about 50 years, the state of Israel will reemerge after thousands of years. Really? That's a bold statement. Was he praying? Did he say, you know, God has revealed to us? And I would say, if he said that, which God? Because it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that would reveal that to him, if you know what I mean. So Theodore Herzl made that bold statement. Then you have, you know, the other moves, Edmund de Rothschild and the land acquisition, obviously $50 million. Spent to acquire land. And then you have the Balfour Declaration and the British Mandate and so many other key figures and moments, William Eugene Blackstone, for example, American evangelist and Christian Zionist, who was also considered the father of Zionism. Herzl is considered, you know, some people would say Jewish. I would say Zionist, father of Zionism. Blackstone would be considered the Christian father of Zionism. I would say Zionist, father of Zionism. Again, these are distinctions I think that are important. So, you know, you have these guys, and then you have, you know, the other folks, John Nelson Darby and, you know, the Moody crowd and, the issue of, speaking of translations, we have, you know, there are the dispensationalist discussions. And all of these forces that have been brought to bear just recently in the last, say, 200 years or so to really sort of reshape the landscape of Christian theology to bring sort of unite forces in an ecumenical fashion along the lines of this counterfeit Zionist movement that, again, is in keeping with Pike's letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871. So that's a lot of backstory, I guess. you know, when you see these things and all of these dots seem to kind of point in one direction, and there is concerted effort and money and propaganda and things that are dedicated to these efforts, one can't help but find that provocative. And at some point, I think it becomes the Streisand effect is in effect. You can't help but notice these things and say, my goodness.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Say disingenuously refer to as the Israel lobby. I would call it the Zionist lobby, because remember, Sleepy Creepy Joe said you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. I would call it the Zionist lobby. It's a very powerful, influential force in Washington in particular. It's interesting how certain forces have gotten their hooks deep into America. If there was ever, if we were ever redeeming or redeemable, it was when we were biblically focused. And, you know, as I said earlier in this hour, it's interesting how when prayer came out of schools back in the early 1960s, and, you know, that's not school's job. Obviously, prayer should be a family thing first and foremost. School should not be teaching religion it should not be the primary source of the teaching of religion. It's not the state's job. And if that happens, you can be assured at some point that it will be anti-biblical. That's just how the world works in 1 John 5:19 sort of fashion. And as we've seen borne out here in America. But it's interesting, as soon as we start to drift away, there's a detachment from God. We don't need that. And we start taking, you know, the Ten Commandments out of major institutions, then suddenly that drift occurs. And like I was saying, we don't see any major developments or accomplishments that serve mankind. They seem to serve some secret agenda. Again, like the artificial intelligence. What good do we see coming out of artificial intelligence? So far, we've only heard tales that remind us of Skynet and Terminator movies and things like that. You know, the summoning of things, and it might destroy mankind to save itself, but you know what, if we merge with it, we'll be safe, but we won't, because we'll be different at that point. So it won't be mankind at that point. So how does that serve mankind? How does that make the world a better place? And I don't see evidence of that. You know, when we look at the headlines for artificial intelligence now, if you understand how ChatGPT and all of the other similar engines work, they're basically just really fast, fancy plagiarism engines that are good at covering their tracks, or at least the creators of these engines are very good at creating the illusion that this artificial intelligence, so-called, is actually writing something, when really all it's doing is flipping things out from things that people have written. Plagiarized. And that's why many authors are very, you know, authors unions, for example, are upset, because an effort to plagiarize their work and put them out of business. That'll do for hour one. Hour two coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.